turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 11. And we're going to read a few verses over there.
In Acts chapter number 11. And when I left this morning, I really didn't know. Well, I was in between two things of what I was going to try to preach on tonight. And I didn't say anything about it because I hadn't got assurance from the Lord which direction that I was going to go, but I feel like we ought to go here tonight, Acts chapter number 11. And we're going to read verses 22 through verse number 30, and then we'll get into the message after that. But I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm going to preach to Abigail tonight. And I didn't tell her because she wouldn't like that. But you know, she's getting ready to move. And when she moves, her and Jackson needs to find a good church. And that's what I want to try to preach on tonight. So Acts chapter number 11 and verses 22 through verse number 30. The Bible said in verse number 22, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all. And with purpose of heart they would..." Let me start over, verse 23. "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." And so we read those verses down through there, and we're looking at the church at Antioch. And going to think about the church at Antioch just a little bit tonight. Now, I mentioned that Abigail's getting ready to move, and they're going to go to Florida, and they've already been talking about and thinking about finding a church. And we've had different friends that have said, "Well, I've heard of this church and I've heard of that church." And so they've got a short little list of churches. But I want to point something out. When we come together as a church, one of the things we are doing, we are covenanting together. And what we covenant together for several things, but just to sum it up, to carry out the Great Commission. To be involved and to be active in church. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it before, but at the bottom of the church covenant, this is what it says. It says, "We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word." And so what that is saying, when we remove from this place, if you have to move, if life takes you in another direction, as a church member, what we are covenanting together to do is, if I move, I'm going to find another church. I'm going to find a church of like faith and belief, and I'm going to join that church, and I'm going to become involved in that church. And I think that's only right. When people move somewhere else, they ought to find a church and they ought to join there. And I could preach on that a little while. It's hard to pastor people that you don't know where they got to. They live a long ways away. They need to join a church. I would not encourage even my own daughter. Now, we all love Abigail and hope so anyway, and we hate to see her go, but I'm encouraging her. One of the best things they could do is go and find a good church. Get involved in that church and join that church. Give your tithes to that church. Get to know people in that church. Let that be your family away from family. We've been there before. My wife and I. Best thing that ever happened to our marriage is getting involved in Faith Baptist Church early on in our marriage. That's where she got saved. That's where God called me to preach. We went and got involved. People move away sometimes and they pout around and they say, oh, it's not like home. Let me tell you, it's not going to be like home. It's going to be different. It's not going to be the same. But there are some things that ought to be the same. Now, there are some good churches in the Bible. If we were to pick a church, you know, you might name some of the good churches that we read about in the Bible. You know, most of the books in the New Testament are named after churches. So there's some good churches. There's some churches that, you say, well, how does that apply to the rest of us tonight? We're gonna pick a church and we're going to say, you know, these are some things we need to make sure are in our church. So I'm not just preaching to Abigail. But you think about some of the good churches in the Bible. There are several. There's the church at Philippi. The book of Philippians, that is a good model church. If we were to say we want our church to be like the church at Philippi, you would be modeling yourself after a good model. The church at Philippi, they were in unity together. They were a mission-hearted church. They were the church that helped the Apostle Paul. They came along beside him. And Paul said, you know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, when he said, 4:13, 13, somewhere along in there, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. A lot of people latch on to that and they say, oh, God will meet my need. Well, God will meet your need. But in the proper context, he was talking to the church at Philippi. And the church at Philippi had met the needs of the Apostle Paul, a missionary. They had helped him get the gospel out. So Paul told that church, he said, my God shall supply all your need. You've helped supply my need. God's going to supply your need. That's who that promise is made to. The church at Philippi is a good church. Years ago, I heard Brother Raymond Johnson preach a message. I think he might have entitled it, The Model Church. And he preached about the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonica, chapter number 1, verse number 7, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia. The church at Thessalonica is a great church. We can model ourselves and try to find a church like that. The church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, good church, persecuted people. They really went through the fire. The church at Philadelphia, good church. Even the church at Corinth had some good things about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, the Bible said, and your zeal hath provoked very many. And so their excitement about the things of God and their zeal about the things of God, they had provoked other people. They'd say, boy, you know, them people's on fire. Those people are doing something for God, and that encourages me. And so there's several churches in the Bible that we could pick out and we could say, that's a good church, that's a good church. But if I was picking a church in the Bible that I would want to look for, that I would want to be a part of, I believe I would choose Antioch. I love to study about the church at Antioch. All of them have good traits. All of them have good things. But I want us to just look tonight at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to notice some things about Antioch. If we were picking a church, they're going to go. And sometimes, if you've ever been in that situation, it can be discouraged. It can be disheartening because it's not going to be like home. And it is going to be different. But there's some things that we can look at and make sure that whatever church we go to, I want to make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. It's got to have some things. Let's point out some things about the church at Antioch. Number one, Antioch was a preaching church. They had preaching and preachers in this church. Let's read verse 22, beginning at verse 22 one more time. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So Barnabas was sent from Jerusalem to Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And so the church at Jerusalem, they finally begin to get the what they're supposed to be doing, and they're supposed to be getting the gospel out, and they sent Barnabas up to Antioch. And Barnabas goes up to Antioch, and as far as I can tell from the Bible, he evidently became the pastor there for at least about a year. Now, this is interesting in the Bible. You talk about the Apostle Paul. You talk about Barnabas. But if you study it out in the Bible, Barnabas, he is mentioned before Paul. He's the principal person before Paul. And then a little bit later on, Paul and Barnabas, they split. And Barnabas goes one way in his ministry, and the Apostle Paul goes another way in his ministry, and it becomes Paul and Silas. Ended up in prison together. But before that, it was Barnabas first. And if you read down through here, Barnabas goes and gets Paul. So Barnabas was the pastor. Barnabas was the leader there at Antioch for at least about a year. That's what it said in verse number 26. And when he had found him, talking about Paul, he brought him unto Antioch. So Barnabas went and got Paul and brought Paul to Antioch. And the Bible says in verse number 23, how do you know that he was the pastor? How do you know that he was the leader? The Bible said in verse number 23, he exhorted them all. That means he preach to them. The word exhort in the Bible, it means to preach. Luke chapter 3 verse 18. And many other things in this exhortation preached he unto the people. What's a church supposed to do anyway? You better have preaching. Our ministry and everything we do ought to be built around the ministry of the Word of God. If I'm looking for a church, I'm going to look for a church first and foremost that is a church that preaches the Word of God. Not just one of the things that they do, but that needs to be the primary thing that they do. That was the primary thing in the Bible that we see that the Apostle Paul teaches about and that we find in the book of Acts. They had a ministry of the Word where they preached the Word of God. They exhorted the Word of God. They got the gospel out. What are churches doing if they're not preaching the Word of God? And so Barnabas had a great pulpit ministry. He had a ministry of preaching the Word of God. And of all the things that could have been said about the church at Antioch, it doesn't talk, first of all, about their fellowship. It doesn't talk about their singing. I love singing. I just couldn't get into a church that was bringing the rock and roll and all the stuff into the church. But that's not mentioned here, but the preaching of God's Word is mentioned here. The singing is very important. To me, how we sing says a lot about what we think about the Lord. Are we respectful of the Lord? That's very, very important. But I want to find a church that is preaching the Word of God. And Barnabas was the preacher, and Barnabas exhorted them all. And the Bible says that he was, you read about here, exhorted them all with purpose of heart, that they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man. And look what the Bible says, he was full of the Holy Ghost. He's not only a good preacher, he is a preacher who's full of the Holy Ghost of God. And the Bible said, and he had much faith. So Barnabas is somebody that we can look up to. He's preaching the Word of God. Preaching, it changes lives. Preaching builds churches. Preaching builds saints. That's how we are edified. That's how we are built up together, is through the preaching of the Word of God. And so the church at Antioch was a preaching church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18 said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." And so if you want the power of God in the church, you've got to have the preaching of the Word of God. You've got to have the preaching of the cross. It is ordained of God that that's what churches do. They go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So if we're going to look in the Bible and we're going to pick out a Bible, we're going to pick out a church from the Bible, or we're going to look at our church and say, you know, how does our church compare? How do we line up? We'd better be a preaching church. And a lot of that falls on the pastor. I realize that. Not only was it a preaching church, it was also a fruitful church. If you look in verse number 24, the Bible said this, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." What's that mean? That means in the ministry of their church that they had souls that were saved. Boy, I got to thinking about that this morning. I mean, we're not in the Philippines, are we? They go over there and have a revival, and they have three nights of meeting. And they have, what they have? 500, 1,000 people get saved. I've been preaching over 25 years. I have not seen 500 people get saved. I've never pastored or been in a church where I have seen 500 people get saved. 1,000 people get saved. But I will say this tonight, as we look around at the church, there ought to be some people getting saved along the way. There ought to be an adding to the church along the way. There ought to be fruit out of the church, and we ought to be praying and looking for that all the time, that God would save our people, that God would save souls, that we would have part in that. We may not be in the reaping ministry all the time, but we can sure be in the sowing ministry. What did Paul say? "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." It's up to the Lord to give the increase. And I will say this tonight, that I'm glad to be in a church that had a part in 1,000 people getting saved. I mean, some churches, they sit back and they say, "Well, you know, that's just the way it is, and there's nothing we can do about it." And boy, I'm telling you, God has not called us to do that. God's called us to get the gospel out. And if we're not seeing very many saved here, I'm interested in going and helping where they are. If they're responding to the gospel in the Philippines, let's help them in the Philippines all we can. Let's sow here, let's work here, let's labor here. And I will say this, I'm not completely discouraged tonight, because I do see God blessing and giving fruit. And ministries going out of the church, and the college ministry, and people getting saved, and among the young people, and Vacation Bible School. And so there's little things we can look around tonight and say, you know, the Lord's really blessed there. God's given fruit, and God's growing, and God's calling, and God's still doing things. So as I look at a church, I want to see a church that is a fruitful church, that is growing in some way, that is seeing souls saved along the way, that is being added to. And we've got some that are coming to join the church, and some that are being baptized here in a few weeks. And so that's always a blessing. We thank the Lord for that. It was a fruitful church. It was also, I look in verse number 26, it was a teaching church. Now, if you look at verse 26, it said that Barnabas, he went to Tarsus. He found Saul. Verse number 26, "And when he'd found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people." Can you imagine having Saul? Can you imagine having Paul for your Sunday school teacher? Oh, my goodness. I don't know if he could get through it in 40 minutes like we do sometimes. Now, I'm telling you, we have some good Sunday school teachers, and I thank the Lord for that. But in the church in Antioch, they had some good teachers. They assembled together, they gathered together, for the Bible said that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people. Now, you've got to have preaching, but you've also got to have some teaching. As we come together and we open up the bread of life, the Word of God, you ought to learn something. You ought to learn something every time you go to church. Now, there's a difference between preaching and teaching. Preaching demands a response. Here's the message. What are you going to do with it? But teaching comes along and we learn about the Word of God. We grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say about that? And we learn. Preachers ought to be teachers, by the way. And so we're learning from the Word of God. And they met together and they taught. Sometimes when preachers come and preach, I ask them, I say, did you have good liberty? Almost always they say, oh yeah, your people are easy to preach to. Do you know that's a compliment? Your people are easy to preach to. I can tell. Somebody told me a while back, I had one of the missionaries came and they said, your people were very attentive. You're used to preaching and teaching and learning. And that speaks well of a church. That you can go and you can preach to them and you can teach to them and they'll take it in and they'll soak it in. Now, there's some churches, they act like they haven't even had church. If they don't come together and, they've shouted, people have come to the altar. I'm all for that. That's good. That's wonderful. And when we come, we ought to worship the Lord and there ought to be a good spirit and God ought to help people. And you ought to see people come to the altar. You ought to see people get right with God. We don't see enough of that. But we ought to come and everything we do ought to be centered upon the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with coming and opening up the Word of God and learning something from it. Being taught from the Word of God, they placed a great emphasis on that. I want to learn something. I want to know what the Word of God says. I've noticed this. You can go to some churches and man, you just think like, man, is it like this all the time? They'll raise their hand. Somebody might shout. They might really get into it, you might think. But here's the thing. If Pentecostal Annie come along and preach, they'd act the same way. Far as the Word of God goes, it really doesn't matter a whole lot. Everything is placed upon. We went and we had a good time. I'm for going and having a good time. But it better be on the Word of God, around the Word of God. It better line up with God's Word or it's not a good time for me. So they were teaching church. And they taught the Word of God to the people. So there's preaching and there's fruitfulness and there's the teaching of the Word of God. You need to learn. We need to learn. That's how we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching and taking the Word of God in is a sign of maturity. Paul talked about it in Hebrews chapter 5. He talked about this. He talked about not being on the milk, but being on the meat of the Word of God, that's what made you strong. So we need the meat of God's Word. It was a teaching church. It was a church that had genuine Christians in it. Look in verse number 26. The last sentence in that verse says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Well, I'm telling you, there was something about these people that they called them Christians. They were genuine. They followed the Lord. They meant it. These folks are real in their worship of the Lord, in their service to the Lord. They talk the talk, but you know what? They also walk the walk. Do you think that's important? Well, what do you think that the world thinks about Christians that'll come along and boy, they'll preach to people and they'll tell them, you ought not to do this. But they go out and do the same thing. Or they go out and do work. That's a hypocrite. People are not so much listening to what we say as to watching how we live our lives. Because if you're lost, a lot of what people say about the Bible and the Word of God and Jesus coming again and being saved and repenting of your sins, a lot of what we say is just jumbled to them. They're not taking it in anyway. They don't discern what's right from what's wrong. But if you say you're saved by the grace of God and you're out here in a restaurant and somebody sees you drinking, they sure know that you ought not to be doing that. If they're down at the ball game and somebody hears you curse, they know you shouldn't be doing that. At Antioch, they were called Christians. We ought to live our lives in such a way that people would call us, say, you know, they're Christians up there. They not only preach it, but they live it in their lives. They don't go along. They don't do a lot of things that other people do. I had a man, it's probably been 2 years ago now, but I was talking to him, and I may have told you about this, but we were talking about something, and I said no, and he was being friendly to it and inviting me to do something, and I said no, I said I don't drink. What they were doing had something to do with that. I said, and it just amazed them. You don't drink. That's one thing. I guess if I've got a pet peeve, that is it. It's Christians that drink alcohol. But if you can't see there's something wrong about that, I just wonder. Because as I read the Word of God and as I look around here in the world, and you talk about something that's caused a lot of bad stuff in this world, it's alcohol. And boy, people, they jump on the bandwagon and they say, I don't know, there's nothing wrong with that. My goodness, the graves are full and homes are broken over alcohol. And I just cannot hardly stomach Christians that'll come along and say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. You think Barnabas and Paul and all of them? No, they were Christians at Antioch. When people look at us, they ought to say, boy, they are genuine. It was a genuine church. They were called Christians at Antioch, not only in the way that they walked, but how they interacted one with another. If they were called Christians, that lets me know that they had love one for another. John 13, verse number 35. I want to read that verse. If I tried to quote it, I'd mess it up. But I want to read what the Bible says over there. John 13, verse 35. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. When the world looks at us as a church and they see that we don't love one another, it's not a good testimony. We all love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you follow me, that you're Christians, that you have love one for another. A church that is bickering and fighting, and you can tell because something ain't right. You're going to go and you're going to visit churches. It won't take long. You'll tell if things are right or not. I know I've told you this. I went and preached at a church one time, and they were interested in me coming to pastor. This was years ago. Years ago. Kim and I, Noah wasn't born then, so that's over 23 years ago. He's getting ready to turn 23 next week. And we went, and we get in the vehicle after church, And I look over and I see two women talking to each other there around to the side of the church. And I told Kim, I said, they're fighting. You can tell people's actions one to another. Sure enough, well, they had some problems. And they wanted to talk to me, but I didn't want to talk to them. I'd already seen enough. I'm not interested in getting in a mess like that. God's people ought to get along. They ought to love one another according to the Bible. And so when they looked at the church at Antioch, they said, they are Christians. It was a genuine church. It was a giving church. In verses 29 and 30, talks about verse 29 said, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwell in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And in the church at Jerusalem, they had a great drought. They had problems. The church at Antioch sent relief unto them, sent an offering unto them, tried to be a blessing unto them. They were a giving church. And I will say that we as a church, can you give too much when you think about that God gave His only begotten Son? And I don't know, sometimes in churches people act like that what's in the what the church has belongs to them. But I'm telling you, what God has blessed Mount Lebanon Baptist Church with is not ours, but just to give and just to be a blessing. And as long as we can keep the insurance paid and we can keep the lights on and we can take care of the parking lot and pave it back, and you know, as long as we can maintain, we're not here to build some big trust fund. I may not have used that right. I don't even know what a trust fund is. Our trust fund ought to be, we're trusting the Lord. And if God gives it to us, it's to be a steward over. And it's to be a blessing and to give back to somebody that needs it. If God gives it to us, He intends to get it through us. Not this be the stopping point. What good is it to have a bunch of money piled up for the Antichrist to get one of these days? Well, to give it to these missionaries. Well, to give it to buy Bibles. Well, to give it to get the gospel out. That's what we ought to do with our money. That's what they did at Antioch. You never read about how many people were in the church at Antioch. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, at the church at Jerusalem, there was 2,000 saved, and then there was 5,000 saved, and then there was a multitude saved. But Jerusalem never got the gospel out. The Lord had to send the persecution first to get them moving in the right direction. But the church at Antioch, I don't know if they had 200 or 20 or 2,000. But I know this, they were a giving church. We ought to be a giving church. I'm looking for a church that is interested in giving and being a blessing and sending it on ahead, not keeping it all down here. It was a praying church. Look at chapter 13. I'm just going to point out a few other things about the church at Antioch. Several chapters in the Bible deal with the church at Antioch. It was a giving church. It was a praying church. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. When they had fasted, they prayed and laid their hands on them. They sent them away. And so we see the church at Antioch was a church that they had men called to go the mission field out of. They were a praying church. They ministered to the Lord and fasted in verse number 2. In verse number 3, when they had fasted and prayed, that little book I read about 50 years in the service of Christ, and it's talking about the ministry of R.C. Eggers, Robie Eggers, and I taught during Vacation Bible School week. Do you know what he said about the main thing? If you read that book, the churches, well, he said that was 50. Let's see, he wrote that book in 1964. That's over 50 years ago. And he's talking about his ministry 50 years in the service of Christ. He's talking about the early 1900s. Do you know the main thing I got out of the book that he talked about them churches? They prayed. He talked about every church he pastored, there was a place where they would go and pray. And he said as he went to churches, he found that the people prayed in their homes and they prayed in the churches and they prayed during the week. They were praying people. We need to be praying people. We need to pray to the point that we know that we've gotten a hold of the Lord and we've had Him hear our prayers and answer our prayers. When the preacher got in trouble, the church prayed. Look at chapter 12 and verse 12. Peter's been arrested. Peter's in trouble. Chapter 12, verse 12, and when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They were a praying church. They got together and they got answers from the Lord. It was a praying church. Prayer is the church's lifeline. I've said many times, if we come together on Wednesday night, we don't do anything else but pray. Don't throw off on prayer meeting. If there's no prayer, there's no power. If there's no power, nobody's getting saved. God's not doing anything. We got to have power in the church. We've got to pray. It was a praying church. It was a missionary church. Chapter 13, verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. The first missionaries were sent out of this church. Say, did they believe in missions? You better believe they did. They sent their own people. They sent their own preachers out of the midst. It was a missionary church. They prayed, they preached, they gave, they sent. They did all these things. Boy, I'm interested in that. It was a missionary church. It was a doctrinal church. If we took time, we go over to chapter number 15, and there was a question among the early church, and they basically asked this. They said, do Jews and Gentiles get saved the same way? Or do the Gentiles have to sort of become Jews? And you know, there's people out here today, they're still asking that same question. Oh, well, I'm a messianic believer. What is that? You're not a Jew. That bothers me. These Gentiles that get saved and all of a sudden they're going to call Jesus Yeshua. Like that makes them more spiritual. And they're going to adopt a few little Jewish things in their services. Hey, I've got news for you. If you're a Gentile, you're a Gentile. You're not a Jew. Quit trying to be a Jew. You're not a Jew. And so in Acts chapter number 15, they got all these people together. Barnabas, Saul, Peter, I mean, they were all there. And they had this question, should the Gentiles do like the Jews? And you know what they decided and they come back together? No. If you're saved, you're saved by the grace of God. Whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, it does not matter. I mean, and this all happened at the church at Antioch. And Barnabas was the man that sort of oversaw the meeting there. And he said, Gentiles do not become Jews. That's the result of that meeting there. And chapter 15, verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. What do Gentiles need to do? They need to hear the word of God and believe. And if you hear the word of God and believe, you know what? You're saved by the grace of God. But we're not going to study all that out. But I'll tell you, they were a doctrinal church. And what they come to the conclusion was that you're saved by grace, not by works. That's what they taught. They were a doctrinal church. There are churches that are going off in one ditch and going off in another ditch and getting all caught up in all these strange things. But let's just stay with the Bible. Let's believe the doctrines of the Bible that have stood the test of time down through the ages of time. Salvation by grace through faith. Many other things we could talk about being a doctrinal church. Find a church that uses a King James Bible. That'll get the job done. That's God's Word. Anything else is confusion. And you'll find that all these new versions have left and changed the Word of God. People say, oh, that's a good church. Now, the pastor, he doesn't use the King James Bible. I'm not interested. Amen. I'll just go on down the road. But I know people that are like that. Oh, it's a good church. Pastor doesn't use the King James Bible, though. I don't understand that. I really don't. Here's the doctrinal church. If you go back to chapter number 13, one last thing. It was a church that was led by the Spirit of God. If you notice the working of the Holy Ghost in the church at Antioch, they verse number 2, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, verse number 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. It was a church that the Spirit of God led in the matters of the church. Who leads the church? The Lord had better lead the church. If we get away from the Lord leading the church, we're going to be in a mess. And so as I close tonight, I think about this. We hate to see anybody leave the church, especially my daughter. But I'll tell you what I want for them. I really want them to find a good church. They will find a church. It won't be just like this church. Abigail said tonight, now, Chloe's asleep, so I'll say this. Abigail said, do I get to hear my favorite preacher tonight? She's talking about me. I hope I'm her favorite preacher. That makes me say my favorite daughter. Not really. We're not supposed to have favorites, but she's not going to find a preacher that's like me. It's going to be different. And the people's going to be different, and a lot of things are going to be different. Just make sure it's all the same when it comes to the Word of God. Let's make sure as Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, as we go forward in the future, that although the world is so tempting, try this at church. Let's just keep trying what's worked for over 2,000 years. Let's just stay in the Word of God. That'll work. I'll ask Brother Dale to get us a song.